Good day, good day, good day. Glad to see you all come back to our second one. Today I'm going to talk about asking your doctors questions. Oh my gosh, no question is dumb. Let me tell you. I mean, if you think it's stupid, ask it anyway. Because if you don't ask, you're not going to know. And just a piece of advice, don't over-research your diagnosis on the internet. And if you do want to research it, make sure your subjects are truth. You know, like, you got to watch your YouTube videos, you know, on a lot of the subjects. Like, for mine, I was looking up Lynparza. Well, I went to the direct school teaching. It's actually a professor teaching in the school. And listened to his view or his teaching on what Lynparza does to the body as far as cancer goes. So, all I gotta say is that just my big mistake is that I have anxiety really bad sometimes because of this cancer deal. And I tend to, stew on it. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. But I got to where I didn't research a whole lot of stuff just for that reason. Because I know how I am. But if you have questions, please, please just go to your doctor and ask them. Because, I mean, what you do, like, in the beginning of my treatment, my chemo, I had to write down what my side effects were, the symptoms of after I got home, if I had a fever, or where my pain was at. You know, keep a log. Because that way, because of the chemo fog, you can't remember everything that you want to talk about. So write it down. Trust me on that. Just write it down. There's no question that is stupid. I'm going to reiterate that. No question. Don't be afraid of your doctor. And if you want to get, if you feel like that you're like cow number 153 going through the chute, which y'all know what I mean by that, I hope. It's something that you need to do is get personal with your doctor. My oncologist, I asked him what made him get into oncology. And he had a family member that was diagnosed with it, but didn't make it. So, and he was in residency when this happened. And that's why he went the direction that he went. Very smart man. Very smart man. And he did become personable after I broke the ice. You know, instead of just being a number or a statistic or your diagnosis, make it personal. Make them look at you as a human. You have to. Some doctors aren't that way. But, you know, like I said, reiterate, ask those questions. If you feel like, you know, they say you go to the doctor, or no, say like you are at home, and, you know, it was after your chemo, and that evening, you come up with a temperature of 101.2. Get your butt to the ER. Do it. If you have trouble breathing, like you get short of breath after your chemo when you get home, go to the ER. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate and say, oh, I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to ride that far. Well, no, do it. Trust me, do it. You just have to make yourself do a lot of stuff that you don't want to do. And I'm the one that doesn't like to be told what to do or when to do it or how to do it. So, pardon me. But, I just feel like that, if you don't take care of yourself, who is going to? I know that there are a lot of things, you have to watch for during chemo. I know losing the hair is the biggest for me. When I had my, I think it was like the after the second treatment. No, it was after the first treatment. My hair started coming out a little bit, and I thought, I was starting to get worried. I thought I at least had another month, but I went on ahead. My hair was almost down to my waist, and I went ahead and cut it up to my shoulders. And then a week later, it started coming out in clumps. So I went ahead and just had them cut it down and shave it. Not shave it completely to the head, but it was enough that it wasn't going to cause any kind of, ingrown hairs or anything. And that experience itself was the most humiliating, the most humbling experience. And I felt like once my hair was gone, that was it, that it was a finalization that I had cancer. I mean, it was kind of like set in stone then. And I didn't realize how much I had relied on having my hair and how much of a comfort it was. I mean, my granddaughters and I used to play beauty shop all the time, and I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that no more for a long time. I think about, I like scrunchies, trying different scrunchies on which one fits better in my hair. I know it sounds silly, but I think about all that stuff is gone, and it makes me look like I'm sick, And from the day that I could remember as a kid, I've always feared having cancer. And when that happened, it was like my fear had come true, And I, by all means, I just can't. A real good friend of mine that I went to school with when I was in, I'm going to say 5th or 6th grade, her little sister was only probably not even 2 years old, and she passed away from cancer. And I think that's where my fear hit as a kid. And then I think about, okay, now I have grandkids of my own. I thought, you don't really think about that stuff. Being up on top of that, being cautious with your body and taking care of your body and doing what you need to do. But losing my hair, I know it sounds so silly. So then, it's like my sister come over and we made a few little handkerchiefs or whatever, and to put around my head. And of course, I wear masks everywhere I go. And I just, it was such a pain in the butt to put a thing on my head. But then, of course, it was getting winter time, and so I went and bought an array of different stocking hats, different colors, different thicknesses or whatever, and so my head stay warm. Well, I never realized, I don't get how men do it, shave their heads all the time and have shaved heads, and that's all they do. I don't get it, man, because I froze my buns off all year last year because I didn't have no hair on my head. I mean, it was like, I don't get how guys do it. I don't. Just don't understand it. And there just is, I wouldn't choose not to have hair. They're just, no. Gotta have that warmth. And I still find myself during the summertime with the AC on, I have a stocking cap on in the house because, I mean, not so much now because my hair's growing out. But man, there just is no way. I don't get how guys do it. I have to give them kudos. But nope. The best thing, this sounds, I gotta say, I enjoyed not having hair on my legs. I didn't have to worry about shaving my legs because you don't have none. None on your arms, no armpit hair, no hair nowhere after chemo. Let me tell you have no hair. And it's like it was nice not to have to worry about shaving my legs because no way. I just Man, I don't know why I'm yawning. Goodness sakes, that's part of it. Fatigue, you know. So I apologize again. But you know, it's kind of the effects on the body. I have eczema on my feet and on my left hand. And I know in the beginning my feet reacted to the chemo by breaking out like they usually do. But I've got it to where they're like most of the time uncontrolled. I mean, controlled, sorry. But other than that, body wise, I do just fine. I mean, other than no hair. I know that I got hot flashes, but that's part of my menopause deal. You know, I don't have to worry about that now, thank God. None of the equipment's every all that equipment is gone. The baby manufacturing stuff is out, you know, and I'll have to worry about it. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about that first step of cutting your hair. And this goes for men too. I'm not just doing women. But you know, it's a part of you. And it's a humbling experience, I think, in my eyes, that, you know, that's a part of something that you stand for as a woman. And losing that as a woman, you know, I felt like, okay, so my husband's not gonna love me anymore, or, you know, I just. And that's, you know, that's exactly what happened was, you know, when he left. He said it was because I had cancer. And, you know, my sister used to give me crap all the time. And she'd look at me from behind. She goes, "You got dad's head." And I said, "I do not." Well, you know how, like, weird that makes you feel, because it's like, oh, so now I look like a guy from the back. Well, not only that, I went to a major store chain over in the town next to us, and you know, I walked in, got my groceries what I needed, and then got up to the cashier, and I was putting groceries up on the belt, and I got addressed as "How you doing, sir?" Until I turned around and she saw that I had boobs. And I was like, "Really? Do I look like a man that much? Do I really look like a man? How can you tell? I have a mask on, you know?" And I'm sitting there, you know, how I was mad because I was tired of getting addressed as a man when I'm evidently a woman because I have boobs, and I mean, this is just me, and that's the stage I fought with, you know, trying to convince, not convince, yeah, I guess I would say convince myself that that wasn't an issue, but it really was an issue for me because I am who I am, and it's kind of like you lose your identity some on, you know, as your body changes, you know, and maybe it's just my own hang up, I don't know. I just know that it did affect me, and I just, you know, it just really. I didn't want to go out in public hardly because it's like, oh, I'm going to be called a guy again. Well, sure enough, you know, the next time I went to the store, I got called a man. And it's like, I am not a man. I am a woman. And so, I'm sitting here going, so how am I going to let these people know that I am a woman, you know? And I just decided that, you know, I am who I am. And if they think I'm a man, then that's on them. But I am evident. I have the female parts. And I'm just going to let it go. You know, that's something I can't really worry about. But it does affect you in the beginning. It really does. I'm not kidding. For me, it did anyway. And then you're looking at, you know, the doctor tells you, you can't go and do no, can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Always wear a mask. Always wear a mask. Well, let me tell you, if you feel like going and doing something, put a mask on. Make sure you're covered. And if you want to just go for a drive around town or out in the country or, you know, or you want to walk into a little store that you know isn't busy, put a mask on, go in, you're fine. I mean, this is what I did. And I just, you know, kept my distance 6 to 8 feet away from people. I wore a mask everywhere I went or anybody I was around. I had a mask on most of the time. So, you know, don't be too scared of that. Yeah. You know, there's a good chance you get sick, but, you know, always practice good hand washing. Always use sanitizer anytime that you're out and about. What I did was I took a big glop of hand sanitizer and I put it all over the handle on a grocery cart. If I was going to go in there and go grocery shopping, always pick the time of day that there wouldn't be very many people in there so I could actually look and see what I wanted to get. Just do it. Don't be scared. Don't have them have you petrified. Because if you don't have that little bit of an out, it's going to drive you crazy sitting at home all the time. And, you know, go outside. Making a point to go outside and sit on the porch early morning or evening or at nighttime. Whichever. Whatever you like best. You know, it's okay. Don't be afraid. And I know that cancer is really scary. I know it is. Trust me. But, you know, you learn to live with it. You learn to live with how your life has become right now. You know, in the moment. And, you know, I think one of the other things that I really had an issue of in the beginning was all the paperwork. All the hoops you had to go through. You know, sign this. You know, it's very monotonous. After a little bit, you know, you start noticing that, okay, my eyesight's not as good as it used to be. It did change my eyesight. I had to go into the eye doctor. Always go into the eye doctor also and keep them in the loop with your oncologist because your eyes do change. So does your hearing. And it stinks. It really does. It's just part of it. You know, it's like you lose a little bit of yourself, a little bit of everything. And, you know, your appetite, you know, they tell you to eat healthy as you can. What I have found is I ate a lot of Ritz peanut butter crackers because, number one, the peanut butter, I got protein, and then the Ritz were kind of settling for my stomach. You eat what you can eat, not about what they give you or, you know, tell you to eat. I know it's important for you to eat healthy, but sometimes in instances you can only eat certain things because your stomach just doesn't handle it well. Or you're nauseated, you know. Ginger ale has been a lifesaver for me for my nausea. So just put that out there. And Starlight peppermints. I keep Starlights all the time because I keep a bag in my purse too because I still deal with nausea. But it's just do what you can do for you. What makes your body do okay, you know, to function. I dealt a lot with constipation. I didn't have the diarrhea part. I had the constipation, and it sucked. But, you know, I finally learned towards the end what works for me to keep it, you know, where I'm okay. Drink a lot of water during the day, like the day before your chemo, the day of chemo, and the day after. Keep fluids pushed. And if you have to, use Marilax. Let me tell you, that stuff's wonderful. I also know that I could never eat dairy very well. I couldn't eat cheese very well. I ate scrambled eggs and toast a lot. I ate some meat. Vegetables, green vegetables was a lot of it. But you know, it's just crazy how much it changes your whole body, you know, the ability of you eating. In the beginning, man, I tell you what, Thanksgiving was awesome because I was like, I had a little bit of spoon of everything, and it was enough to fill me up, which is weird, because usually I get a nice big plate and gorge myself, but this last year, I had enough just for a little bit of everything, and I was satisfied with that, because I was thankful, you know, of just what I had. And, you know, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, if you're intimate with your significant other or your husband, wife, whatever, always use protection because of infection, to keep from getting infection. There isn't nothing wrong with snuggling, you know, just snuggle, you know, have your private moments. Be a part of each other's life. It didn't stop. Your marriage didn't stop. It's just there was just a roadblock or a pothole in the road. But don't stop. And I think the next thing you should do is, like, get out of your comfort zone. Don't procrastinate. Get stuff done. I know some days you're not going to feel like you're wanting to do anything. And those days, you rest when your body tells you to rest. You always follow what your body's telling you, especially shortly after chemo. Usually it took me about 7 or 8 days before I started feeling where I could function again. But just keep doing what you're doing. Keep, you know, just keep moving. I was told that the whole time. Just keep moving. I mean, if you want to get up and do dishes, get up and do dishes. But then go sit down and, you know, because I know for me, I got really tired really fast. Of course, I had someone, my husband was here to take care of me at the time, so, you know, it was nice that he was around, because that was the only one I could count on besides my sister and kids. You know, he was here almost 24/7, so, you know, it's important to have that somebody that can take care of you. I have noticed that, in the beginning, if I didn't have that, I think I would have probably been really lost, because I had no oomph. I mean, literally no oomph. My first couple days during, like, chemo, and then probably about 3 days, 4 days after that, it was like, I was all she wrote. Me and the couch became best friends, watched TV, played on my phone, played on my computer. It's just, you just didn't have the energy to do much. But you still have to get up and move around, because you don't want to stay stagnant in one position too long, you know, just because that's just normal for blood, so you don't get blood clots, but that's just a precautionary thing. I made myself walk from the front porch to my mailbox, which is probably about, oh, two truck lengths, maybe, if that, and back, just so I could get daily exercise when I could. Take a shower. I had to sit down and take a shower. I could never stand up. I had to have a chair, shower chair. I had to humble myself down for that, but there wasn't nothing like having a shower, let me tell you. Although, that's one thing, that the temperature on the water had to be different. I always loved really, really hot showers. And because of the chemo, if you got it too hot, it felt like you were burning your skin. And I mean, really seriously. So you have to adjust your water temp. I mean, for me, I did. I mean, that's what I had to do. Watched how hot the water was that I was doing dishes in. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, you have to wash your clothes separately from your families because of the excretion of chemo through your pores. That way you're not transferring. You got to wash your bedding like the day before you go to chemo, and then you wash it again like on the fourth day or fifth day after chemo, because usually you don't take showers during that time, or you very little do. You just don't feel like it. You don't have the energy. Just things change. You just live like a more, I wouldn't say complicated, but I think that it is a lot different. It's more tedious, I guess. I don't know. I know it's not like, I hated the chills. I did get the chills a few times, but that was just from chemo. Plus, I also have, when I get so tired, I've done it since I was a kid, but if I get overly tired, I get the chills. Until I go to sleep, I'm fine after I go to sleep. But it's like I've been that way since I can remember. So, that's just something for myself. But anyway, I just wanted to just give you a few things, to do. Start journaling. Journal your path, from the beginning to the end. I journaled a little bit, and I'm not gonna lie, I haven't journaled much at all, just because I have trust issues on people reading my stuff because of past experience. So, and that was my own crap. But I know that I jotted notes down every time I turned around, and I kept them with me, or put somewhere in a notebook that I forgot where it's at, actually. But it's like, journal it, your feelings, your, what your body feels like, what your thoughts are. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all, because it's going to show you your thought process on how to cope with a lot of stuff, actually. I mean, if you really think about it, God's taken a lot of the crappy parts of the process away from me, out of my memory, and I think I call it God, but it could have been the chemo fog, I don't know. But I do know that if I sit and I dwell on how I feel, or it just feels like it gets worse. So I always like self-talk myself, like, hey, you're doing good to good doing good today. Feeling pretty good today. Or, you can do this. You've got to really self-motivate yourself sometimes during it, just to get through like an hour. Or, I mean, Let me tell you, it's just not easy. It is not easy at all. I can imagine someone that's going through worse than I am with chemotherapy or, recovery of cancer or terminal. I couldn't imagine anything of that nature. So this is just my one experience, and I'm sure there's others that have experiences to that are worse off. So I'm really grateful that I have had what I've had. I do know the importance of is always reach out. Reach out for help. There are organizations out there that will, if they can't help you, then they'll find somebody that can. I have noticed that. And it's all a matter of asking and picking up that 500-pound phone and dialing that number. And, there again, it's all about being afraid. And nothing's ever final. I mean, nothing is ever final. You can change anything you want at any time. And just don't give up. Don't give up hope. It seems hopeless in the beginning. It really does. But it's not. It's not hopeless. You feel helpless. And yeah, I'm not gonna lie, you think hopelessness is there too. All the above. It's a dark and dreary in the beginning because you don't know what to expect. Ask questions. Just ask. Like your first chemo, when you're there, don't be afraid to talk to those people that are there. Some probably won't talk, some do. But don't be afraid to say, "Hey, how are you today?" Or, "Hey, man, this is tough. This is my first one. I am so scared." But I can almost guarantee you someone will either smile at you and nod their head, or they will say something to you. So, really, seriously, don't be afraid to say anything. Just don't be afraid. You're not alone. You really aren't. It may feel like it, but you're not. But that's about all for this one. I want to thank you for listening. And I'm hoping that you will come back and listen to some more. I just want to wish you a good day. God bless and peace out.